Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 72. The slaying of the demon Jarasand. Yudhisthira said, O Govinda, I want to worship your opulent expansions in this world, like the demigods and other empowered beings, your vibhutis. By Vishwanath explains, this statement of Yudhisthira hints that he is exclusively devoted to Krishna, just like the great King Bharat. By seeing Krishna, the demigods and sages being worshipped in the Rajasuya sacrifice will become purified. Yudhisthira said, we feel no urgency to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, nor do we have any personal interest, because by your boundless mercy we are already seeing your lotus feet and relishing your personal association. But in this world, there are many evil persons who think you are not the Supreme Godhead, but just an ordinary human being. Or else they find fault with you and even criticize your behavior. This is an arrow piercing our heart. To extract this arrow from our heart, we must call to this place on the pretext of the Rajasuya. We must call Brahma, Shiva, demigods, and wise brahmacharis residing in each of the 14 planetary systems. When such an exalted congregation has assembled, it will be incumbent upon them to arrange the Agra Puja, the preliminary worship, or the first worship for the most worthy person present. Then, when everyone is directly shown that you, Sri Krishna, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the arrow piercing my heart will be removed. Yudhisthira said, my Lord, meditation on your slippers destroys all inauspiciousness, including that of ignorance. Those desiring material enjoyment obtain it by worshipping you, but not those who do not worship you. Both fruitive workers and pure devotees worship your lotus feet, but your devotees never desire material results. What to speak of us who have no material desires, having taken shelter of your feet and directly seeing you? Therefore, my Lord, when your status as the Supreme Godhead has been established by the distinguished assembly headed by Brahma, by this Agra Puja, the people of the earth will understand the power of serving your lotus feet. Then, to dispel their illusion, please show the positions of the Kurus and Srinjayas who worship you as God, and those who do not worship you, thinking you to be a human being. If you give your consent, this will be shown at the proposed sacrifice. If Krishna were to ask, but will I not be displaying malice if I show the superiority of those who are favorable to me and the inferiority of those who are against me? Yudhisthira replies in verse number 6, my Lord, you do not have a mentality of prejudice, distinguishing on the basis of my side and the other side, since you are the completely pure absolute truth. Moreover, as the super soul dwelling within all living entities, you engage them all in their particular actions according to the endless flow of their karma. You alone are the supreme controller and without partiality, Samadrisha. You give them good or bad results suitable to their acts, since you yourself relish the greatest joy within yourself. You have nothing to gain or lose in relation to conditioned souls. Rather, you reciprocate with them according to how they approach you, Krishna says. But then, who are the recipients of my qualities of compassion and generosity? Yudhisthira. You show compassion to those who worship you with their hearts by cutting the bondage of their karma and by giving them everything, even your own self. You show your generosity, Krishna. But then, do I not show some prejudice there? Yudhisthira. You are just like the desire tree, Suratora, which bestows its fruits upon those who take shelter of it, without considering one's faults or merits. You also show mercy to anyone who serves you. Thus, even though you remain impartial, you especially favor your devotee, being controlled by his affection. Sri Krishna said to Yudhisthira, O great cloud showering the nectar of my glories, O king, certainly you have permission to perform the Agra Puja, sacrifice. By addressing King Yudhisthira's Shatru, Darshan, the tormentor of the enemies, Krishna is imparting to him the potency to conquer all the enemy kings and become world famous. Krishna said, what do I or anyone else need to do in this connection, since you yourself can easily attain? Disguised as brahmanas, Bhimasen, Arjuna and Krishna went to meet Jarasandha. They said, O king, know us to be needy guests who have become. Jarasandha might be thinking, what if you request my son, from whom separation would be intolerable? To this possible objection, Krishna and the Pandavas, Arjuna and Bhima reply, nothing is intolerable for a tolerant person. We see the example of Dasharath giving his son Ram to Vishwamitra. But if the householder refuses you, then what is the result? They reply, what cannot be done by one without principles? Similarly, Jarasandha could object, what if you ask me to give my body or my precious jewels and other ornaments which are meant to be given to my sons, not ordinary beggars? To this they reply, for the generous, what is not to be donated in charity? Everything is to be given. Now there's a mention here about Harishchandra and Ranti Dev, Anchavritti, Mudgala, Shivi, Bali. To pay off his debts to Vishwamitra, Harishchandra sold everything he had, including his wife and children. So his society, Jarasandha decided to, he exposed these three Kshatriyas disguised as Brahmanas. Nevertheless, he played along with their ploy, and he challenged Bhimasen. They both fought with clubs, and they appeared like dancing actors circling one another. They broke their clubs and started beating each other up with their fists. And they kept fighting each other. No one was admitting defeat. For 27 days they fought, stopping at the end of each day to live as friends in Jarasandha's palace at night. On the 28th day, Bhima frankly admitted that he could not defeat Jarasandha. Krishna then told Bhima the secret regarding Jarasandha's birth. Jarasandha was born two halves from two mothers. Seeing the babies useless, the father threw the two parts into the forest. They were found by a witch named Jara. As the fighting continued between Bhima and Jarasandha, Krishna gave a hint by splitting a tree branch in two halves. This indicated that Jarasandha could be killed by reversing the manner in which he was born. Previously, Krishna had transferred his power to Bhima. Now, understanding a signal, Bhima grabbed hold of Jarasandha's legs, threw him onto the ground. Pressing one leg with his knee, Bhima grabbed the other in his hands, and this way he bifurcated Jarasandha's body, beginning from the anus and going up to his head. When the people of Magadha saw their king's body lying on the ground in two halves, Krishna Arjuna congratulated Bhima for killing Jarasandha by embracing him. Krishna called the son of Jarasandha named Sahadeva and told him to rule the throne. And then Krishna freed the 20,000 kings and princesses which were locked up in caves by King Jarasandha.